Welcome to another episode of the Blurred Political Lines podcast, where we share our political views, discuss current events, and explore different perspectives. Join us in this episode as we discuss the assassination attempt of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. All right, welcome back to another episode, everyone. Weston, how have you been?
Well, I've been just fine. How about you?
Doing pretty good. First Father's Day today. So
yeah, happy Father's Day. Happy Juneteenth. It's
thank you.
You know, having a son who was born on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Having your first Father's Day be on Juneteenth, it's like the most important thing you could ever do.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
It's poetic, really.
Yeah, definitely. My next kid doesn't have a chance.
So something that's new, right? And I know you already know this. I've switched over to the dark side or the light side, depending on how you look at it, because,
oh, right.
To the Galactic Empire, Han Solo was a terrorist, right? And to everyone else, he's the hero, you know?
Right.
So I've switched sides now and, I do some part-time prosecution stuff with the, county ADA office on a little contract basis, so I don't have to chase around shithead criminals anymore.
That's awesome. Congrats.
It kind of is. It worked out super well. It actually like completely like replaced the all the criminal defense stuff that I do for like the same money, and I'm sure I'll probably have to work a little bit more, but what's the right word? The emotional burden will be a lot less.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, actually. And actually, last week was my first week, so.
How'd it go?
I mean, it went just fine. You know, I had, like, I don't know, 15 DUIs, and, like, it was whatever. I was like, let's just give them all ARD. They seem like good people.
What's ARD?
So, ARD is, like, you, like, go on probation, and if you complete probation, you don't fuck up, they expunge it from your record.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah, so it's like your like first time, like don't do anything bad, and it's not just for DUIs, but most people do it with DUIs, but it can be anything from like small possession of weed to, you know, stealing a hamburger from Walmart kind of thing.
Okay. Hey, did you see President Joe Biden fall off his bike yesterday?
Yeah, well, I think what happened was, Donald was golfing somewhere in Delaware and just hit him a little too hard.
He hit him with the ball.
I mean, but really, dude, like, if you see, I mean, I'm sure you have the, like, real video where he's just like.
Yeah, I've seen it.
He just fucking tips over.
I think it's a perfect metaphor for his presidency.
Yeah, it's so fucked. Like, dude, come on, just quit.
Yeah.
and you know what's crazy is like all the leftists all the time that think Lizzo is like hot as fuck. We're always like bashing Trump for being like overweight or whatever, but like that dude's got more energy than me.
Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, look what you got now. Putin's walking all over him. The Communist Chinese Party's about to stick it up his ass in Taiwan.
Yeah.
You know?
That reminds me.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the funniest thing I saw about that, him falling over, was someone said it was Putin's fault.
I would have thought the funniest thing you saw about that was when your good buddy, as in me, texted you and said, I think the tires just had too much inflation.
Oh, that was a good one, too. Oh, man.
It was Putin's price hike.
I feel bad for him.
Well, actually, so do I. Like, I, like, watched that, and I was like, you know that, like, he either wasn't biking down that trail, right? He, like, got on the bike, like, right out of camera. Or somebody was, like, walking him with a bike.
I don't know. He could have just misstepped and fell.
When was the last time you've done that?
Yeah, but I'm not 80 years old. That's pretty good
You
for an
don't have
80 year old,
dementia
honestly. What's that?
I said you don't have dementia either, which actually I don't think he has dementia, but like if you
Yeah.
look at his like older stuff, he is clearly in mental decline, which isn't the same thing as dementia. He's just getting old and feeble.
Right. I mean, he's 80. 79, right? Yeah.
And he's had to cover for his son doing cocaine and shoving Glocks up hookers' butts for the last 30 years, so.
I want to do this episode about the something more important that happened recently with the Supreme Court, and it's only the second time in history that this has ever happened. There was an assassination attempt against one of the Supreme Court justices. So I wanted to break this down a little bit, just talk about the events, what's gone on over the past 2 months, and yeah, just get your opinion on it.
Well, I have a lot of opinions on it, so you can take the lead and I will interject.
Perfect. So I just want to walk through kind of a timeline of the events here, and then feel free to jump in whenever you want to.
Sounds good.
So I think it was around May 3rd was when we first saw the leaked draft, or supposed draft, of the Supreme Court opinion that would overturn Roe versus Wade.
Which we did an episode on, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, I think it was 2 episodes ago. So you can check that out. We get into that in a little bit more detail. So yeah, that's about a month and a half ago. Since then, the Democratic politicians have criticized the Supreme Court pretty heavily, and I think that this has been going on for quite some time. That they've been really putting pressure on the Supreme Court and the justices. I feel like I've been seeing it more and more over the last couple of years. Weston, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, and maybe I'll take like an extra step back, just to maybe reiterate something we've already said here before, which is like there's this, at least in my opinion, a media misconception that like they say, oh, there's this super majority conservative or a conservative super majority on the Supreme Court right now, 6-3, and they like, wet their britches over it, but
Yeah.
it's really not like that because John Roberts, specifically John Roberts, is he's you I don't even know if there's even a more middle of the road justice, let alone chief justice ever. Okay. And I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of John Roberts, but he is very like extremely middle of the road. So this notion that there's a 6-3 super majority, that's just like bogus. It's completely bogus,
Right.
So I mean, but is there a conservative majority at this moment? Yeah, sure. I'll go with that. But also like Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, it's not this like Chicken Little sky is falling thing that this Jeffrey Tobin on CNN wants you to believe. It's,
Right.
if you read their opinions, it's not like that at all.
Well, I think that's a good point because they make them out to be this extremist Supreme Court. That's the word they keep using about them. And I feel like they've been criticizing them and encouraging people to protest against them and
Which
to do anything they can to sway their opinion on the
Is
upcoming,
illegal, by the way.
right,
And I
which,
think we'll talk about that later, but
yeah, but I think their end goal is to either sway their opinion and scare them out of making the opinion that they are already thinking about doing, or, and the only other thing I can think of here is that they're just trying to build their case to eventually stack the Supreme Court in their favor
that could be.
by expanding it and adding justices.
But talking about a quote unquote extremist court, if you travel back in time to when like Franklin Roosevelt in his first term, when he tried packing the court, and he tried that fucking hard, like really hard.
Right.
But his justices that he appointed that were on that court, you know, looking at it in present day, you know, were they quote unquote extremists? Yes. I think it's a bit of a stretch to call them that. I would call them hard left. But, you know, back in the early 1930s, that was an extremist court, dude.
Really?
Like, yeah, no, seriously. If you like, I mean, you know, like, I did a bit of con law back in the day, you know. So,
You know more than I do about this.
they were, you know, for their time and their day, like, you know, the court we have today, if you call that extremist, I wouldn't even know how you would begin to define the court in the 1930s. So, like, and I think that's something we've talked about before. Like, when you start labeling things as, like, everything's extremist, right? Like,
Right.
but it's not. And that it waters down the term so that nothing's extremist and everything's extremist, then it doesn't, the word itself doesn't have any meaning, you know?
Right. But I also think it's used just to kind of fire people up and
Oh,
to try to paint
100%.
them in a way that maybe they're not for their base or for whatever end goal they have here. So I have a couple comments here that I want to go over that I think are illuminating. And one, I'm gonna play it for you. But the first one is just from it's from Elizabeth Warren. I don't know if you saw her rant, but she was outside the Supreme Court that day, just going off
Yeah,
about
she looked like she was about to have a fucking aneurysm.
I didn't want to pull that clip, but I did just kind of get a concise thing that she said about it. She called them an extremist Supreme Court that's poised to overturn Roe versus Wade and impose its far right, unpopular views. So, I just think it's interesting that it's the language that she's using there. And then, the one that's really been played recently, I think more so is Chuck Schumer's comments.
Right,
And
and I have like a million things to say about that one.
yeah,
So
let me play it first. And this is the interesting part about it is these comments, this is what's really interesting is I thought these comments occurred more recently, but they actually occurred in March of 2020, which is
which
interesting
is
for a few reasons.
yes, it is.
Number one, because you can see how politicians have used this rhetoric for a long time, kind of these just fiery ways to get people riled up about things. And you know, the way that he says it in here, it's almost like threatening these Supreme Court justices specifically.
Well, you're
But this
goddamn
was,
right, especially the specific words that he uses.
yeah. And this was way before anyone was talking about Donald Trump doing this. So the fact that they lecture everyone all the time about their rhetoric and how it's creating violence, and that's like their whole thing right now. They have been doing this for so long. And this is just a perfect example of before the pandemic and before everything from the past 2 years happened of a Democratic politician doing that. So let me play this really quick, Weston, and then I'll get your opinion on all that.
Okay, perfect. Can't wait.
Republican legislatures are waging a war on women, all women, and they're taking away fundamental rights. I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
All right, so that was Chuck Schumer. So, what are your thoughts on that, and what he said?
Well, I think it's I don't know. I hate using the word nuance because I feel like everybody uses that word when you're like trying to have like a conversation with them about things. You're like, oh no, it's nuance. So like you're not talking about what I'm talking about. But the words he uses there, like, they're very nuanced for a Supreme Court justice because, like, if you really think of what he's saying, he says you're going to reap the whirlwinds and you're going to pay the price, right?
Yeah.
And so now, after this has come to like attention, his like people are saying, oh, well, he was talking about politically and like the election and blah blah blah. All right, well, that's all bullshit. I can't believe somebody let you actually say that because a Supreme Court justice is appointed for life.
Right.
There's no whirlwind that they can reap There is no price that they can pay politically. And as a matter of fact, they are specifically supposed to, because they're appointed for life, they are not swayed by any representative election, any Senate election, any presidential election. It doesn't matter. They are already there. They are already on the court. So any whirlwind, quote unquote, or price that they could pay isn't anything that can deal with an election or people voting or anything, right? Like that is like the reality application of it. So what the fuck do you actually mean, Chuck Schumer? Because you know that, right? Like, right. I think you're a stupid, stupid motherfucker, but you know what I'm saying is true, right? Like, yeah. You know.
Well, the only thing that I could think of, just to stop you for a second, is they could potentially impeach a Supreme Court justice, correct?
But not for their decisions.
Yeah.
And so that's interesting. So, like, if Chuck Schumer is, like, saying, like, if you don't decide how I want you to decide,
right?
I'm going to impeach you. He should go to jail for that. Honest to God,
and like, that's exactly what he said was, if you choose to rule like this, you'll face a whirlwind. You're gonna pay the price. So this has been going on for a long time. Them attacking the Supreme Court justices,
right? So
you know, this is nothing new.
And exactly, that's not like you could say that about. A representative, a senator, or even the president, right? And it has a completely different meaning. You will pay the price. You will reap the whirlwinds via the election, right?
Mm-hmm.
Supreme Court justices don't get elected. They're on the fucking court for forever till they're dead, okay? Yeah. Because none of them resign. They go till they die. Well, some of them resign, but you know what I mean.
Right.
But like, so what price is it, Chuck? What whirlwind is it, Chuck? You know what I mean? Like, because if you say it's an election, you're full of shit. And I know that. I know that. Right. So whatever do you mean? You know?
Mm. And that was from March of 2020. But you can back up even farther, though. You can back up even farther. How they attacked Brett Kavanaugh during his hearings. I feel like that's where this starts. And how they painted him and the unsubstantiated claims they made against him during his hearings. I feel like that, along with just this criticism that's gone on, I think has painted the picture of this guy for a certain percentage of the country in a certain way.
Which to me now, looking at it, well, and you know how I stood on that then, and I'm sure we even took or had episodes on this, but like, if you look at like the criticisms lodged against him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard trial, and the things she said about him, and then the things that came out in a civil courtroom recently, like 3, 4, 5 years, right? Like all those things that they ever said about Brett Kavanaugh, if that was in a court of law, it would have never got ever to a jury,
right?
Because it's all bullshit. It was a show trial, what it was.
Exactly.
It was and I hate saying this, right? Because I feel like Rush Limbaugh when I say something like this, and I don't like that, right? But
yeah.
It was a communist show trial, is what it was.
You're our Rush Limbaugh.
Thanks,
for me and all the listeners.
Thank you.
It reminds me a little bit, not to segue too far, but of the January 6th show trial that's going on right now, where they're trying to draw conclusions from things they wouldn't hold up in a court.
Dude, it's the same thing.
I know.
It's quite literally a show trial because they hired a former ABC News producer to produce it. It's literally a show trial. You know, and like I listened to some of it and I was like and I don't know, you know, like I come from it from like a law perspective, like there are rules of evidence. There are things that have to happen because Because for as long as there's been courts of law, like lawyers and judges have for the last 500-600 years realized that, like, when people don't have pressure on them and there's not like rules and there's not like perhaps consequences for lying when they're saying stuff, and there's not all these like little catches in place or checks and balances in place in a court of law, it's all bullshit. Right. Until you have all these rules. Like, once you get to this point with all these rules, then you get the truth. And if you don't have any of that, it's all bullshit. And it's a fucking show trial.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more. But I'm going to reel this back in a little bit here.
Okay, like, sorry.
We're going a little too far to the side. I want to get back to this assassination attempt against Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court justice that just happened.
Was it a white nationalist?
On June 8th. Hold on, I'll get there. There's a couple more things I want to touch on really quick before we get into what actually happened. So we had the leaked draft. We had kind of the ratcheting up of rhetoric and criticism of the Supreme Court. Then we had, I think, which is an important step here, is pro-abortion groups, specifically one called Ruth Sent Us, posted Supreme Court justices' home addresses online.
Can I just interject for a second? Yeah. You want to know what's so funny about that, like the Ruth Sent Us thing?
Yeah.
Like, and you know, we've talked about this. I don't agree too much with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, God bless her soul.
Yeah.
But she is even on record as saying, like, hey, like, Roe v. Wade wasn't a very good, like, Supreme Court legal precedential decision. She even said that. She was like, I think they came to the right conclusion. And, you know, of course, that's always debatable. But she was like, their legal reasoning was, like, not good.
Yeah.
She said that.
Mm.
That's not me. That's her. You know what I mean? So, like, it's so funny, right?
I also don't think she's the kind of person that would send people to someone else's home to protest.
I don't think so. And I think I've said this before. Did you know that Ruth Ginsburg and Antonin Scalia were, like, best friends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
It's, to me, that's amazing, right? Right. So that's actually why I respect her.
Yeah. You know? That's what, like, I mean. I don't think she was the kind of person that would encourage this kind of thing. So
fuck no.
It's just kind of ironic that that's the name of the organization.
And she was on record as saying that she didn't agree with, like, Colin Kaepernick's bullshit either.
I do remember
saying that. They just kind of, like, brushed that.
No, though, they edited it out of the interview because they didn't want it to look bad.
With Katie Couric. Yes.
Yeah, yes, that was it. Anyways, back to this again. So these pro-abortion groups, they published the Supreme Court justices' home addresses online, and then groups were calling for protests at the Supreme Court justices' houses, and that had been going on for about a month. Any thoughts on the protests at the houses of the Supreme Court justices?
Well, of course, there's like a line, but did you know that? So if you are protesting, and I'm using that term very loosely, but if you are protesting outside of a Supreme Court justice's home with the specific intent of intimidating them and influencing them to change their vote. And this doesn't even apply to just the Supreme Court justices. It applies to any federal judge. You are committing a federal crime. Did you know that?
It's
federally codified.
Yeah.
So it is quite literally the functional equivalent of the people that went into the Capitol building. The crimes they have been charged with, rightly so, in my opinion, very rightly so, but it is the functional equivalent of that. But the DOJ doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. They're not going to arrest any of these people.
No, right? They don't care. Do it. They just arrested the dude because he had a gun and was waving in front of the marshals outside of Kavanaugh's house, you know? And they're right. Like, oh, shit, well, we better get out of our fucking car.
I'll get to the details of it. But yeah, exactly. I didn't realize it was that, that it was illegal and that it was that serious.
No, I mean, like, and there's a line, like, you can still, like, protest, but, like, you know, it spells it out, right? Like, and I could be a little fuzzy on the details, but basically, if you're there, you know, after, like, you know, I'm just using this as an example, but, like, if you're there past 10:30 at night and, like, you know, they can prove your intention is a protest specifically to, you know, change their vote or intimidate them or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
is
they
that,
don't.
Is that a high bar?
Well, it's always a high bar to prove somebody's intent, their mental state, you know, but if an opinion gets leaked on May 3rd, right, and you know, they can look into your background, you've never protested for anything in your entire life, and on May 4th, you know, you flew from California to Washington, D.C., and you're protesting at 12 o'clock at night, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a hard, hard inference of your intent.
Yeah.
That'll, you know, that'll get you past a preliminary hearing every day of the week.
Well, and what's interesting about the protests, too, obviously this was, people were warning of possible violence in this situation. And no one was condemning these protests. You know, they're gathering Nobody. Outside of their, of not just their homes, but their family's home. Obviously, some of the justices have children. Even the White House, they had asked them several times, I have a clip here, about them asking specifically if they condemned the protests. And they basically said, no, we encourage peaceful protesting.
Jen Psaki specifically condoned it.
Yeah. Let me play that clip here. I have that as well.
These activists posted a map with the home addresses of the Supreme Court justices. Is that the kind of thing this president wants to help your side make their point?
Look, I think the president's view is that there's a lot of passion, a lot of fear, a lot of sadness from many, many people across this country about what they saw in that leaked document. We obviously want people's privacy to be respected. We want people to protest peacefully if they want to protest. That is certainly what the president's view would be.
So he doesn't care if they're protesting outside the Supreme Court or outside someone's private residence.
I don't have an official U.S. government position on where people protest. I want it, we want it, of course, to be peaceful.
So, yeah, at this point, the protests have been ongoing. And then finally, this kind of culminated on June 8th when there was actually someone who came from California to Brett Kavanaugh's house with the intent to kill him. And I'm going to go into the details of that here next. Weston, is there anything else you want to add in before I do that?
There is just one little thing I would like to add in.
Yeah, go ahead.
As we've been doing this, you know, January 6th show trial, something I've been seeing on Twitter, and, you know, I don't want to get into too much gun stuff, but you know, it was right after the Buffalo thing, and then he had the show trial going on, and there are these dickheads on Twitter saying, they were like, some of the people on January 6th specifically said that they left their guns at home because they knew that if they went into Washington, D.C. with a gun, they have more restrictive gun laws and they'd get arrested. Huh. Which is super fucking funny. Because this dickhead from California that wanted to go kill Judge Kavanaugh went there with a fucking gun against the law specifically to kill him. So, you stupid assholes, think about what you're saying. Those people that went there that didn't bring their guns weren't trying to overthrow the fucking government.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. Right? Like, think about it.
Yeah, I had a very fair point.
Anyway, like, once I heard that shit, I was like, you people don't even, like, you don't even think beyond your stupid-ass initial thought.
That's funny.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah. So, the assassin, the would-be assassin of Brett Kavanaugh, he was originally from California, so his name is Nicholas Rosk. He was arrested after allegedly traveling to Kavanaugh's home. He was armed with weapons and burglary tools with the intent to kill the justice and prevent him from ruling on Second Amendment and abortion cases.
Oh, the irony.
Yeah. So at approximately 1:05 a.m., two United States deputy marshals saw an individual dressed in black clothing and carrying a backpack and a suitcase get out of a taxi cab that had stopped in front of the Montgomery County, Maryland residence of a current justice of the United States Supreme Court, the affidavit said. The individual looked at the two U.S. marshals who were standing by their parked cars and then walked down the street, according to the affidavit. The Montgomery County Emergency Communications Center then received a call from an individual who identified himself as Nicholas Rosk and said he was having suicidal thoughts, that he had a gun in his suitcase, and that he'd come from California to kill a specific United States Supreme Court justice.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's my reading of that. Okay. You know, I'm not F. Lee Bailey, right? I'm not Mark Garagus, okay? I'm just a simple country lawyer, but how I read that is this dude knew what he was doing. He saw the marshals and he said, "Oh fuck, I'm fucked." Mm-hmm. So if I call 911 now and saying I'm having suicidal thoughts, that is going to help me maybe get out of this jam.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I read that. And I could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
But that's my take on that.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility.
I think it's a good one because, like, a suicidal person, and again, this is just from my country bumpkin experience, like, suicidal people, if somebody's actually suicidal, they don't, and because I represent people that are legitimately suicidal, they get involuntarily committed. You're either homicidal or suicidal, and the rare instances that you're both has to deal with like somebody that you're like in an intimate relationship with or a family member. Mm-hmm. But you don't, if you are suicidal, you don't get on a fucking plane or drive or whatever with a bunch of guns and burglary tools to specifically go kill somebody. And then the moment after you walk by two U.S. marshals, call and say you're suicidal. That's not how that works.
Well, when he was arrested too, so they were able to actually get him into custody without incident. And when they searched him,
he's not suicidal.
he had a suitcase and a backpack, and he had a lot of stuff with him. He had a black tactical chest rig and tactical knife. He had a Glock 17 pistol with two magazines and ammunition. He had pepper spray, zip ties, a hammer, screwdriver, nail punch, crowbar, pistol light, duct tape, and hiking boots with padding on the outside of the soles to, I guess, make them quieter. So that he could kind of break into this house. When he was arrested, he told the authorities that he was upset about the leak of a recent Supreme Court draft decision regarding the right to abortion, as well as a recent school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. He believed the justice that he intended to kill would side with Second Amendment decisions that would loosen gun control laws.
Yeah, that dude's not suicidal. That dude had a purpose and they're pussied out and trying to get out of it.
Yeah. That's definitely possible. I guess we'll have to wait and see, but he has been charged with, I think, attempted murder of a Supreme Court justice.
Good. But, you know, whatever. He should have done it. Brett Kavanaugh's a gang rapist, so whatever.
This is the second time that there's been an assassination attempt against a Supreme Court justice. Do you know who the other Supreme Court justice was that had an assassination attempt against them?
Okay, so I think that's super funny because as I was coming back to my studio to record this, I was thinking in my head, I was like, I can't ever actually remember when when there was an assassination attempt on a Supreme Court justice. And I was thinking and thinking and thinking. And then I looked through your document and you said there was another one. And I was like, no shit. So I'm legitimately very, very curious about this.
So the other attempted assassination was against Justice Stephen Johnson Field. He was an associate 1820? Justice. He was an associate justice of the Supreme Court from 1863 to 1897.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's an interesting story because he was hearing a divorce case when he was a senior justice of the Federal Circuit Court in California, when he ruled against former California Supreme Court Chief Justice David Terry and held him in contempt of court. And then a year later, Terry, the former California Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice, made an unsuccessful attempt on Justice Stephen Johnson Field's life. But he was shot and killed by a U.S. Marshal.
So think how different that is.
Yeah.
I mean,
that
was
a personal vendetta. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. That was personal. That's really interesting.
Yeah. But that was a little fun fact for you.
That's a very fun fact.
Yeah. So it's only ever happened twice. But I do think that this kind of underscores just the danger in attacking these people individually, at protesting at their houses. I don't know. I just feel like the whole thing has a really ugly vibe to it. And it's funny because it's coming from the left after they've been preaching to us for the last 2 years about just how,
how violent January 6th was.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And I found
this... none of them had guns because they didn't want to get arrested for having guns, which means they were law abiding citizens. And this fucker takes a gun all the way across the fucking country to kill a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah. You love that.
It's like, are you fucking nuts? You know, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's so obvious. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Here's a good example, right? And this is like a personal example. I went to Lake Erie today to fish, right?
Uh-huh.
And, I always carry a pistol in my truck. Always. I have forever. Except when I go through New York, right? So, you know, 4:30 in the morning when I'm getting ready to leave, I walk my tired ass out there to my pickup truck, open the center console, get my 357 out, walk it inside, put it on my, like, fucking the thing going up the stairs. I don't know what they're called. But, and then I walk back out. You know why? Because I say to myself, fuck, if I get like pulled over for speeding and the cop has some reason to search my truck, I don't want him to see that, you know? But if I was going to kill somebody, I wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's really that easy, you know?
Yeah,
it's not a hard game, you know?
Right. I did find this one comment on Twitter that I wanted to share. I thought it was pretty interesting. I think they summed this up pretty good. We've already hit on it a little bit, but I think just looking back even further in time than what we talked about today, this guy said, progressive extremists spent 8 years writing Kill Bush fan fiction. They shot Representative Steve Scalise at the Congressional Baseball
Yes, I was also assassination attempt. Steve Scalise too, but
which was by a Bernie Sanders supporter. They caused
not even a Bernie Sanders campaign worker.
Right, that's right. They caused trillions of dollars of damage in 2020 during the riots. Caused 20 to 30 deaths, and they tried to kill Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. And tomorrow they'll resume lecturing the right on dangerous rhetoric and violence.
Right. Right.
And I think it's also worth noting, just to, you know, just to finish this up here, that this isn't the only violence that we've seen. I mean, there's been pro-life organizations and pro-life centers across the country attacked and firebombed since this happened. Yeah.
Do you know what a firebomb is? It's a fucking Molotov cocktail.
Right.
basically.
Right. So, yeah, the violence has continued, and I don't know. Maybe we'll get a the actual decision any day now. It'll be interesting to see the reaction. It'll be interesting to see if this continues or if they'll take another route. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, and again, we've talked about this before. If the Dobbs decision is what we think it is,
mm-hmm.
it literally changes nothing in the United States at right. that moment in time.
Right. Well, it doesn't do a back to the thing. State legislatures. Yeah.
Right.
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 So whatever whatever they've passed or are going to pass would be the law.
And there's a really good chance. I mean, you know, there's, you know, of course, there's a lot of exceptions, but there's a really good chance that if you're a person living in a state that has a state legislature that goes one way or the other, you're okay with it anyway. So who gives a fuck?
Do you know that most European countries have like a 12-week ban on abortion?
It's actually 15.
A lot of them are around that area. Yeah, they're right around that area.
Which is crazy. Which is crazy because not crazy that that's what they do, but it's crazy because, like, I guarantee you most of the people in this country don't even know that.
Well, so I looked it up because I was just curious after, you know, this happened and we were talking about it on our one episode. There's only three countries that really allow
exactly
as much abortion as the United States does. It's the United States, right. One of them, Canada, which makes sense right next to us. And then
fuck
China.
Justin Trudeau, by the way.
Yeah, he sucks. And then China is the last one.
And they only do it in China because they have too many.
Right.
Hey, they'll do it for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
The government will literally do it for you.
Yeah.
Because there's so fucking many of them. But yeah, isn't that part insane? Like, oh my God. We're gonna live in a Handmaid's Tale society because of but every other country in the world.
I love that you make fun of the Handmaid's Tale. I love that you make fun of the Handmaid's Tale people all the time.
No, seriously, right?
It cracks me up.
It's like
I heard that shit so many times though. I'm so sick of hearing it. It's so
well,
funny.
Why don't you look at the rest of the fucking world, you ignorant, and that's what it is, it's ignorance. You ignorant fucks. Like these liberal European countries that for everything else you fucking idolize, they are like you would revolt under those laws for this.
Right.
You know?
Because so, I think the Mississippi law was 15 weeks, right? Texas was 6 weeks. I know there's a couple that have proposed like banning it out right now, but
yeah. You and I have talked about this. I think the Texas law is a little too far, but right. I think that a Mississippi law is probably just right, to tell you the truth.
And actually pretty consistent with the norms across the globe.
Yeah, yeah, which is consistent with all the liberal-ass European countries that these people like bow down to, like they idolify, you know?
Yeah.
Which is insane, right? Because, like, does that not just, like, show the ignorance of most of the electorate in this country?
I mean, I didn't know until I just recently looked it up.
Well, and me too,
and you, I think you think that the norm of this country is the norm in the world. I mean, just, right. That's what you know and that's what you're used to.
Which is, you know, and I shouldn't be that way. You know, I should look up more and, like, think more and whatever. Yeah. And then you do it, right? Like you just said, and you're like, oh, actually –
I was
kind of
shocked.
Shit.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things that I love about this, I don't want to say abortion debate, but this debate about like Roe v. Wade and the Dobbs decision is like, they're like, oh, women's rights. Well, you know, right. That like the same amount of women, like 49, 50, 51%, 52%. Really close line in a lot of states are women that want it to be illegal too, right? Like, you know that, right?
No, I don't. I'm not familiar with those statistics at all.
No, it is, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that it isn't. I really am not familiar with those.
Yeah, well, like, think about it. It's not just like a bunch of dudes, you know, in Texas or Mississippi or wherever, you know, that are like, oh, nope, no more abortions. Like, there's a lot of women that think the same way, too.
Yeah.
You know? But that gets into a whole other question in and of itself. What is a woman?
Oh, boy. That's another episode.
Can we just talk about that for a quick second? Just like, yeah. Give me all your right. 30-second reaction on that movie.
My 30-second? I honestly was a little disappointed. Like, it was funny.
What?
It was funny. I get what he's doing. But, like, I kind of already knew that that's what it was going to be. I just thought it was a little underwhelming.
I thought it was fucking amazing.
I mean, it's hilarious. It's hilarious to watch these people try to explain it, and they can't.
That college professor.
Right.
Yeah. No,
all of it was funny, but I just kind of already, I've seen that. I've seen people struggle with it. It was just all put in one movie. So yeah, I don't know. It was good.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. All right, I got one more thing for you here.
Okay.
It's a quick pop quiz for you.
Oh, good. I love it.
I got all kinds of things in this episode for you.
Amazing. Let's go.
This is, we're going to play a game. Who said it? I'm going to read you a quote, and it's just one person, one guess, and you got to guess who said it.
Okay.
All right. I don't like the Supreme Court decision on abortion. I think it went too far. I don't think a woman has the sole right to say what should happen to her body. Who said it?
Joe Biden.
Dude, you nailed it. That was it. That was Joe Biden back in the day when he was a young senator. Right after the decision. How ironic.
Hit me with another one.
I don't have any other ones.
Son of a bitch.
I do have one other thing here, though. Just to end on a happy note, I was reading something recently about,
and can I just interject for a second? That wasn't in the document. I didn't know that. I knew that.
Yeah, no, I'm impressed. I thought I would stump you for sure. but that was good. But one last thing to end on, just a happy note. I was reading something recently about Justice Sotomayor and Clarence Thomas, and how she was talking about how she really respects him and that they were friends and what a great guy he was, and how he knows the name of every single person that staffs anywhere in the Supreme Court. He knows their family and what an awesome guy he is.
Wants to put his pubes in their Coca-Cola can.
Why did you just ruin that? I was trying to end on a good note.
Jesus. Oh, come on, that's funny.
I don't know where that came from.
No, that's the girl that accused him of sexual things or whatever, like Brett Kavanaugh. That's what it was.
Oh, it was pubes in his coke.
That was that whole hearing. That's what the whole thing was about.
I had no idea.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. That's so random. I was going on this big thing about him. And all right, that makes a lot of sense. Anyway, she was just saying what a great guy he is, how they respected him, and how they had a friendship. And it just reminded me, you mentioned it again today, but of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Justice Scalia. So I thought that was cool to see that still, despite all of this.
Which is
that still kind of persisting across the aisle.
Well, no, exactly. Which is why, Sotomayor, I respect her, you know, that's why I feel like that, because they're not, even though I may vehemently disagree with how they like the law or what they think they're like, obviously, like the story you just said, they are smart, rational people, you know? So I can fuck with that, you know, that's cool. I respect that a lot. And that's why I respected Justice Ginsburg too. Cause you can be fighting cats and dogs about the law, which I do with people that I respect all the time. You know, you can do that, but to me, at the end of the day, if you can still respect, and it depends on the person too, the other person could be a shithead, but if you can get past all that stuff and still respect and have a friendship and admire the person that you're going against, that's admirable. So, I won't ever say something shitty about justices like that.
Yeah.
You know, I might think they're a little short-sighted and have terrible legal reasoning, but I won't, you know, I don't think they're bad human beings.
Yeah. All right. I think that's everything I have.
Well, that's everything we have for this episode. Thanks for joining us today. If you want to hear more, make sure you subscribe or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.